This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, good morning. 5 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. Welcome back to work. For those of us who were yesterday rested, for some of us, we had to work regardless of the holidays. For some people, today should be their Monday, eh? For us, Monday was Monday, Tuesday is Monday. Every other day is work day. That's what it is. 5 minutes past 8 o'clock now. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and you already know it's the Morning Crossfire. Need I remind you? Well, for those who do not know, now you do. And today's conversation is really interesting. Really interesting. I'll be speaking with very interesting guests today. One of them is already with me in the studio at the moment. The other one would actually speak with us over the phone because he can't be here live. But let me say that the Nigeria Association of Resident Doctors, Joint Health Sector Union, have all disagreed with members of the House of Representatives. Why? It was because of plans to outlaw strikes in the health sector. Yes. Now, there's a proposed bill in the House to that effect. And they have described it as an abuse of democratic rights of employees. Now, the bill has been sponsored by a member of the House who's representing Enugu State. His name is Simon Atige. Yeah, and so the bill seeks to prohibit medical practitioners in the employment of the federal, state, and local governments in the essential service sectors from embarking on strikes and to accelerate administrative and judicial proceedings in the determination of trade dispute involving them. Now, that's just a summary of what's in the bill. But that's not all. We're aware that agreements have been reached between NERD and the federal government. Some of those, well, the last time I spoke with the national chairman, he said that the government was working on implementing some of the demands that they made. But the reason why this is very, very important at this moment is the fact that we have the Omicron variant of COVID-19 ravaging the world. And Nigeria and River State is part of the world. So, yes, it's a problem. And how well are we handling this fight against COVID? Most important is, how does the agreement between government and health workers affect the fight against COVID? Because if we see another strike by resident doctors or a joint health sector union workers, what's next? Especially in the midst of what many would say it's already a fourth wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, to discuss all of this, in the studio with me is Dr. George Ila. He's a former member of the National Executive Council, NERD. He's also the immediate past president, Association of Resident Doctors, River State University Teaching Hospital, and he is the senior registrar, Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, River State University Teaching Hospital. Sir, you're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
I think it's the first time we're actually meeting face to face.
Yeah.
Very first time.
Exactly.
So we should take a picture for that, memory sake.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'd like us to start off with, first of all, what's most important and what's right in front of our face. COVID is in front of our faces at the moment. I was trying to get some details with regards to the number of cases that we've been having with regards to COVID here in the state. Let's start from home. We know that the Omicron variant is becoming a concern, and I know that River State recorded 11 cases as at yesterday, according to the NCDC. It's what they say. Lagos got the highest. The country in general recorded 670 new cases. 2 days ago, River State recorded 90 cases. So we might say it's a drop, because yesterday there wasn't any cases recorded. So how is the fight against COVID in the state at the moment, look, coming from a perspective of resident doctors and other health practitioners?
All right, thank you very much. As far as the statistics go, that is within the purview of the state government, okay, to tell us what the statistics are, you know. But for us as resident doctors, you know, we are doing our best, you know, ensuring that, encouraging people to take the vaccine, you know, ensuring that we are using our personal protective devices, you know, and equipment, you know, so that by chance you come across any patient that has it, you will not be infected in the attempt, you know, to treat such a person. Okay, so that's how That's so far what
so
I can.
So the PPEs are being provided for by the government?
Yes, yes, yes.
Can
at the River State University River Teaching State. Hospital.
Yes. Oh, that's the one you can talk, yeah. speak for?
Yes.
Okay. So what about the availability of the vaccines? We know that there's supposed to be booster shots that people should be taking as well. Are they available for doctors to work with?
Yeah, yes, they are. They are. And in fact, the River State University Teaching Hospital is one of the centers, you know, where the vaccine can be taken, you know. So those who are around that area, you know, mm-hmm. would definitely have access, you know, if they so desire. You know, the problem is the fact that up till this moment, yes. we are speaking.
Nobody has come.
There are still a lot of people who do not believe that COVID-19 is real.
Maybe now it's an opportunity to talk to us about this, because many people have had mixed ideas. I too at one point got confused, not about the reality of COVID, but about the vaccine. Then I understood how vaccines really work, because we used to think that when you take a vaccine, you're not supposed to fall sick from that particular disease you took a vaccine for. So when people saw that, oh, you still get COVID even if you have a vaccine, I think that kind of made them feel like it's not necessary now. What's the difference? So how can you educate people now and just basically tell them?
You know, sometimes what vaccines do is, number one, they could actually prevent someone from getting a disease. But sometimes they help to make the disease less severe, even if the person contacts the disease. For instance, measles vaccine, which is given to children, it's actually meant to prevent children from having measles. However, some children still come down with measles even after taking the vaccine. But the severity is less, you know, it is less severe and, you know, less likely to kill the child. Mm. Okay, so to that extent, it is still beneficial to take the vaccine. So it's the same thing with the COVID. You know, those who take the vaccine are less likely, even if they develop COVID, to have the severe forms, you know, which can, you know, kill them easily or even very fast.
So which of the COVID vaccines do we have available in River State at the moment? Which of the brands?
Okay, I think from what the information we have is the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Okay.
Yes.
How does there was some mathematics about how the booster shots work. I think there's some sort of mixing that happens. I don't know. Is it that doctors just administer depending on which is available?
Yes, at the moment, you know, the people are giving the vaccines that are available. Okay, so the important thing is for people to make themselves available, you know, to take the vaccines. Yes, because the vaccines are there. The other day, I was hearing in the news, you know, that several doses of vaccines were destroyed.
Okay,
and that is because people refuse to take the vaccine. Okay, otherwise we don't have any reason to waste those vaccines. Yes, but once they have expired, of course, they need to be destroyed.
All right. Since we're on COVID, one of the demands of NARD was payment of COVID-19 treatment allowances in the absence of death in service insurance after losing some workers to the dreaded virus, amongst many other demands by the resident doctors. Now we're in what many would say is a fourth wave of COVID. And how far has it been with regards to the agreement between the NARD and the government? Do you feel like the government has done enough, or should we just gear up for another strike or protest by resident doctors?
Well, you alluded to the fact that your last conversation with the national president was that there's work in progress.
Yes.
I think I will just leave it at that. Work in progress. The work is not done.
Are you comfortable with the work in progress?
Well, you know, the end point is usually what everyone is interested in. You know, so, and then of course, even if there's work in progress, that work should be, there should be speed, a certain amount of speed that is seen, you know, that you know that in less than no distant time, you know, the work should be done.
So is there speed now? Speaking for resident doctors in the River State University, for instance.
I would say it is slow, you know, I think that there's slowness on the part of the federal government, you know, and I think that we only appeal that the federal government would up its game, you know, and add more speed, you know, to the processes, you know, so that all these issues can be resolved.
Because one would wonder, if the federal government is really interested in sorting this out, the news that came up about a bill prohibiting health workers, that should prohibit health workers from going on strike. What's your perspective to it? Because I started off with that. A lawmaker from Enugu State is proposing that bill, and it's to stop health workers from going on strike. And we know that already there is some sort of, would I say, bad blood between government and health workers because of what the health sector is suffering at the moment. And COVID-19 came and exposed even much more what needs to be done. Should this sort of bill be something that should even be thought about?
All right, thank you very much. To me, the bill looks like putting the cart before the horse. I did not have any interaction with the honorable member, but I imagine that his motive would be that, okay, let Nigerians not suffer. You know, let Nigerians who need so much the services of doctors and other health workers, you know, not be unnecessarily exposed, you know, to dangers that they should not die when they should not, because the workers are not there. I'm imagining that should be his motive. However, before you bring a bill like that, you should first of all think that, okay, what has government done to ensure that everything that is needed is on ground, to ensure that, you know, the welfare of the workers is taken care of. You know, the Holy Bible says somewhere that the laborer deserves his wages. Okay, so if you are talking of situations where people are not paid their salaries for months, you know, and you say that they should not cry out, and the only way they know to cry out is to go on strike, then you are muzzling the ox that's treading the mill. Okay, so I think that what the lawmaker or lawmakers, as the case may be, should be concerned about at the moment is to make laws that would ensure that government takes care of its workers. Nigerians in the health sector, whether be they doctors, nurses, laboratory scientists, you know, all manner of health workers, are leaving the country in drones. Where they are going to, there are no strikes there. I've never, at least as an adult, I've never read that, you know, doctors in the United Kingdom are on strike. I've never read or heard in any news that doctors in the United States are on strike.
But I think the NHS, sometimes they protest as well. But they don't really strike, but they protest certain issues.
Yes, they protest, but they don't really down tools, you know, such that, you know, patients go to hospital and don't find, you know, people there to treat them. Okay. In Saudi Arabia, I've never heard, you know, that the doctors all over the Saudi kingdom are on strike. I've never heard it. All right. So when doctors and other health workers are going there, they know that there's no strike there. Well, yet they are going there because they know that their welfare will be taken care of, and they have all they need, you know, to do the work for a 21st century healthcare system. All right. That is not the case here. So I think that what the lawmaker should be concerned now would be to make laws that would ensure that, first and foremost, the enabling environment for health workers, you know, to do their work for a 21st century health system is on ground. And then number two, to ensure that the welfare of the health workers is actually being taken care of, addressed. Okay. Once they do that, in the first place, there would even be no reason. Nobody will have any reason to go on strike, because when health workers go on strike, they too suffer. Their relations suffer.
Do they really suffer? They can go abroad. So
no, I'm talking about health workers.
Health workers. Okay.
Yes. When health workers go on strike, be they doctors or nurses, whatever category, they too suffer, because they too can be patients. Okay. We have doctors who are also sick. You know, nurses also fall sick. You know, radiologists, you know, just name them.
But doc,
they also have their relatives, you know, who can be sick and who might also need the services of the institutions where they work and which will now be on strike. Okay, so they too suffer. For instance, in one of the strikes, you know, I had someone, you know, call me about somebody, I know, who was sick. And the good thing was that, you know, that person came just at the time, you know, we had suspended strike and got the care, you know. Otherwise, that person would have died. And you can imagine how I would have felt that here is someone I know, you know, and possibly died.
But that's another very interesting thing. You know, there's a national body that controls some of the demands. Let's say for resident doctors here in River State, at the River State Teaching Hospital, some of these demands... they are getting, let's say, let me just put out a few. Immediate payment of salaries owed. How many of it do you feel have been met? For doctors who are at the Riverside University Hospital, for instance, have they seen some of these demands met? Have they gotten, with regards to immediate payment of salaries owed to all house offices? There's also immediate payment of all salary arrears, upward review of current hazard allowance. Is any of this, have they been met?
Well, for resident doctors at the River State University Teaching Hospital, I must clearly say, as a past leader of the association, I must clearly say that the issue of salaries, you know, payment of salaries has never been a problem. You know, yes, resident doctors, they have not been owed salaries. House officers, they have not been owed salaries.
I needed you to say this.
Yes,
because
yes.
My next question would be, if this is the case and then there is, say, a strike from the national body saying the resident doctors, everybody should go on strike, what then happens to those at the River State University Hospital? If you're part of the union, what happens then?
Well, I don't like to put the cart before the horse.
Oh, because it looks like we might see one. NLC already, the new year, NLC is already putting together a protest, national protest, and that's a strike looming. ASU is also gearing up and speaking towards that direction. Now the NARD is also looking, because this bill that's coming out at the floor of the House is also suggesting that if they don't act, well, this might be what may happen to them. Even though in the bill it also says judicial proceedings should be used to determine trade disputes. So if you're saying now that resident doctors at the Riverside University Hospital, they don't really have issues with some of these things I've mentioned, but then you're part of a body, and if the body says everybody's going on strike, what would then happen?
My brother, when we get to the bridge, we know how to cross it.
When we get to the bridge, we'll know how to cross it.
Yes.
Isn't it? All right, if you just tuned in, it's the Morning Crossfire on Nigeria Info 92.3. My guest in the studio, Dr. George Eli, is a former member of the National Executive Council, NARD, his immediate past president, Association of Resident Doctors at the River State University Teaching Hospital, is a senior registrar, Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the State University Teaching Hospital as well. If you have questions, you can send your messages to 0809-030-6416, 0809-030-6416. Sadly, he told me before coming here that he doesn't have all the time, so he'll be leaving us very soon. So whether or not he's going to get to answer those questions, I don't know, but then let's see. 0809-030-6416 is the WhatsApp number. The phone line is 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0007, and 0009. All right, we just have to see if we can take one message or call before we let you leave the studio. But then another important question I want to ask you is this. We've said that the bill would not be needed if we have the necessary requirements in place. Doctors would not even have any reason to go on strike in the first place. For you, this is a new year, and many would be looking at what do we expect, what should be, you know, the direction now for NARD, resident doctors in River State. What should we be expecting? What should any demands, are there new demands that should be made, and what should we expect?
Well, for resident doctors at the, because you see, here in River State, we have resident doctors in two higher institutions, you know, River State University Teaching Hospital, that is within the control of the River State government. Then we have University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital. That, that's within control of the
federal
government.
So for River State University Teaching Hospital?
Yeah, for those of us at the state, you know, there had been engagements, you know, and we are hopeful, you know, that most of the things, you know, we have been asking, you know, will materialize.
What
you
are
know,
the things?
Will materialize in, of course, most of these things have to do with welfare. And, you know, at our last meeting, you know, Annual General Meeting and Scientific Conference, which we held, you know, just a few weeks back in December, you know, representatives of government who came actually assured us, you know, that as we enter the new year, you know, things that we have been asking, you know, all this while, you know, will be addressed, you know. And so we are very, very hopeful, you know, that we should be in for a good time, you know, this year.
But Doc, you still haven't mentioned the things, some of the things, because you have earlier said that they don't really have much problems. So now that you're saying that there are a few things, what are the few things that the demands that perhaps you'd want the government to look into and address?
Well, for instance, now we had been talking about domestication of the Medical Residency Training Act.
Okay.
Yes, you know, which is one of the challenges, you know, for state-owned institutions, you know, and you know, engagement we have had so far, you know, that has come a long way. Okay, we have had a draft of what the bill for that should be like. You know, this we have brought, you know, to the attention of the chairman of House Committee on Health of the University House of Assembly. You know, we've worked closely with him, you know, and we've gotten to a very advanced stage. You know, we are looking forward to a situation where, for instance, in 2022,
yeah,
you know, that document, you know, should be placed before the House of Assembly, you know, for hearing.
Okay. All right. Let's just see if we take one call before we leave. Hello. All right. Good morning, Nigeria Info.
Hello. Very good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just a quick one. And it's for the doctor in the studio.
Okay.
We do understand that some African countries are coming up with their vaccine as far as COVID-19 is concerned, mostly in the Maghrebian region of Africa, Libya, Tunisia, and even Morocco. What is the medical team in Nigeria doing? You know, because nobody's concerned about bringing an autochthonous vaccine, an indigenous vaccine, for this pandemic. Other African countries, smaller than Nigeria, with smaller resources, are making efforts to come up with their vaccine. Doc, what are you people doing? MMA, the medical council, I'm talking about medical practitioners in Nigeria. What is happening?
All right, thank you very much.
What are you people doing?
Allow
to
ensure
that we have our own Nigerian vaccine.
Let's allow Doc answer that quickly before we go on a short commercial. Doc.
All right. Thank you very much. I think that the Nigerian Center for Disease Control, okay, is actually working on that. You know, we also have the Nigerian Medical Research Institute, and they are the ones working on it. So I believe that, you know, when something comes up, they will let all Nigerians know.
All right. When something comes up, Nigerians would hear about it, definitely. We'll go on a short commercial now. When we return, the conversation would continue. Hopefully, we still have Dr. Ila here. If he isn't, well, I still have another guest to be speaking with over the phone. It's Dr. Chima Emmanuel Edoga. He's the first vice president, NARD, and senior registrar in ophthalmology at the Enugu State University Teaching Hospital. All right. So stay tuned. Remember to send your messages to 0809-030-6416. The conversation continues shortly.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, yes, and here we are still in the studio with me, Dr. George Ila, and I'll be joining, our other guests will be joining us shortly. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and in case you missed the conversation from the start, I'll bring you up to speed. We're looking at agreements between the resident doctors and the federal government and how it could affect our fight against COVID, the Omicron variant to be precise. Here in Rivers State, Dr. George Ila has said the vaccines are available. I mean, at the Rivers State University Teaching Hospital, vaccines are available, but then we have people coming out, very few of them, who are willing to come take the vaccines. The encouragement would be go out there and take the vaccine. That helps, despite many other things that he has said. But most importantly is the fact that there is a bill being proposed on the floor of the National Assembly seeking to stop health workers from going on strike. Now, we know that certain agreements have been reached between the government and resident doctors. So if that's what the government should be looking at, why should lawmakers be thinking about a bill that would stop them from going on strike? Some may say maybe it's because they don't want to implement what's in the bill, or they want to find a backdoor around it. I wouldn't know. But we'll be speaking to Dr. Chima Emmanuel Edoga. He is the first Vice President NARD. He's also the Senior Registrar in the Ophthalmology Department at the Enugu State University Teaching Hospital. Hello, Dr. Edoga. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yes, you're welcome. And just so you know, I also have with me in the studio here Dr. George Ila. He's a former member of the National Executive Council, NARD.
Good morning, Dr. George.
Good morning, Edoga. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
All right, so quickly, there is a bill that's been proposed on the floor of the House seeking to stop health workers from embarking on any form of strike. And that bill also says that judicial proceedings should be used to determine trade disputes involving the government and health workers. And we also are aware of demands that NARD had made in the past and the agreements that were reached. Some of those demands, one of them would include payment of COVID-19 treatment allowances in the absence of death in service insurance. There's also the immediate payment of salaries owed to all house officers. There's also the immediate payment of salary arrears, including March salaries for members, upward review of current hazard allowance to 50%, consolidated basic salaries of health workers, and payment of outstanding COVID-19 inducement allowance. With the Omicron variant of COVID-19 ravaging the country at the moment and other parts of the world, and all of these other things happening, what should one expect from the NARD?
All right, thank you very much, Andrew and listeners. I would like to bring the warm greetings, new greetings from the President of the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors, Dr. Godia Ishaya, on what the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors is planning for the year. We have a NAD agenda, which we started sometime in the last week of September, is going to run to the last week of September in this 2022. We are going to ensure that our members offer the highest possible care to patients across the 36 states of Nigeria. And then we're also going to be embarking on corporate social responsibilities and outreaches to reach the hinterlands and the hard-to-reach areas and provide support to Nigerians, and also contributes generally in the different policies of government. Now, coming to this particular controversial bill, which surprisingly is being sponsored by someone from the state where I work, Honorable Engineer Simon Jugemeka Atigwe, who is representing Udinu and Igbo and North in Enugu State for that constituency. It's a very controversial bill in the sense that this bill seeks to prohibit strike actions by medical practitioners. And one should ask a critical question: why will respectable medical practitioners resort to strike actions? I'm going to refer you quickly to a statement that was made by Professor Onyebuchi Chukwu sometime in 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic was coming up. There was a strike action then by our association. And he made a striking statement. He said that there is nothing that the medical doctors in Nigeria enjoy that did not come by strike, so that you should not blame them. So it means that every single thing that we enjoy as medical doctors came by strike. So if you prevent these last resorts, you know, from seeing the light of the day, then it means that you're essentially trying to kill the medical profession in Nigeria. I also want to inform you that there will be a massive exodus of early career doctors from Nigeria this year. A typical example is there is a national exam that a Nigerian doctor's right to go to United Kingdom. The space is available for that exam. It's called PLAC. You cannot find any space available for 2022. The next available space is in 2023, meaning that all the available spaces have been taken up as far back as September, October of last year. So this policy is going to further cause massive brain drain, because if you deny the medical practitioner the last resource to getting solutions to their problems, then you're essentially telling them that they should just get away fast. So the House of Representatives should actually be looking at solutions and not to escalate the problem. This bill is provocative, is draconian, and the Nigerian Association of Doctors will reject it in all its entirety.
All right.
I'll make further comments. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So tell us about the earlier demands, 10 of them that were made, and the agreements that was reached with the government last year. This is a new year now. How far with those agreements? How many of them have been met, and what is left?
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to appreciate the leadership of our association, Dr. Godia. Ever since the association, the current leadership took power in September, we have virtually been sleeping in federal ministries, in NDAs that are associated with meeting our demand. Many of us have left our jobs in our teaching hospitals, and we have been trying to follow up on some of these bureaucrats. And with the efforts that have been made, a lot more than 85-90% of our demands have been met. The MRTF, which is the Medical Resident Training Fund for 2021, have been paid to majority of our members. Just very few are remaining, and we hope that before the end of this month, that the outstanding MRTF for 2020 will also be paid to our members that are over 1,000 that were not paid in the year of 2020. The House officers' salaries that are being owed, many of them, close to 90%, have also been paid. Then our members that they are owed for many months, some up to like 8 months, have also been paid. These are members in federal tertiary health institutions. However, for the states, virtually little has been achieved for the states. For instance, in Abia, in Imo, in Kawutamaku for Southeast Nigeria, and we also have some others in the northern states like in Kaduna. The state government has still not meeting the requirement that NAD set forth. So as for the federal government, most of the demands from the federal government have been met, but little have been met from the state.
So how many is left? How many would you say is left for the federal government to meet, and how many is still hanging for state governments for the ones you mentioned?
Well, the federal government has addressed all the issues that pertain to the federal government. Many of them are at almost 100% completion.
Okay.
But for the states that I mentioned, the last information we have, they have not addressed them. It's a sorry state that some doctors have been owed for 20 months, and you expect them not to embark on industrial disputes, for them to begin to courts. And we know how our courts work. How do you expect a doctor to be working when you are not paying him? These are some basic questions that we need to ask. The second question we need to ask is, what is responsible for the decay in our health system? Is it the strike? No. The strikes actually try to help the health system of Nigeria. Because, for instance, if doctors are not being paid, if doctors are not being given their funds for their exams and their training, then they may leave. So those strikes actually try to make these doctors to get the minimum requirement for their work, so that they can remain in the system and take care of patients. So if you deny them right to strike, then you're essentially trying to say, okay, you can go to Saudi Arabia, you can go to Canada, you can go to UK, just stay in court, spend some time in court and see how far you can go in court. So it is actually not the right way to go. There are many things that the Federal House of Representatives should be doing. For instance, in the National Health Act, of 2014. Section 45 talks about industrial disputes, subsection 1 to 3. But if you go to subsection 46, it talks about that no public officer of the government, you know, of the federal government, shall be sponsored for medical checkup abroad, except in exceptional cases that is recommended by the medical board. So, then what do we find? Most of these people that are trying to pass these laws, they actually use public funds to go abroad in hospitals, in systems that have been developed in their own countries. So they should rather concentrate in passing laws that develop the health system of Nigeria rather than passing laws that are antagonistic to the development of our health system.
Okay.
That is the question of Nigeria.
All right, Doc. But quickly, before we allow you to leave the studio and get back to the conversation with Dr. George Ila, most of the things you mentioned sound really amazing for the things you are doing this year. We expect in any situation that could lead to a strike. Should that be something that people should look out for? Especially with the situation of state governments who you've mentioned aren't doing what they ought to do.
All right, thank you very much. The current administration of NAB is trying to explore every means to resolve conflict before it enters into strike actions. We expect that this year is going to be, you know, free from strikes if the government does what they are supposed to do. Currently, some of the states, teaching hospitals that I mentioned, are on strike as we speak. Their issues have not yet been addressed. In Abia State, for instance, their residents are at home because they have been owed for more than 21 months. So, as we enter into 2022, some of these dead doctors are still on strike. So these are issues that should be addressed. They should be addressed, you know. The health authorities should be looking into reviewing the Medical Medicine Training Act so that it can better reflect the reality of medical medicine training and medical practice generally.
Okay.
in the country.
All right,
before we start talking about draconian laws of trying to prevent medical workers from exercising their democratic franchise.
All right, thank you very much.
We offer essential services, but we ought to be taken care of. If we, no strike is called upon without a declaration of disputes, we write letter.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We're just about saying that thank you very much. We were running out of time, but then thank you very much for making out the little time that you have to speak with us on the show this morning.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you. That was Dr. Chima Emmanuel Adoga, the first Vice President NARD and currently Senior Registrar in the Ophthalmology Department of the Enugu State University Teaching Hospital. He said quite a lot of things that they would be doing this year, and I'm pretty sure here in River State we might see those things also being implemented. Before we continue with you, Dr. George Ila, let's just open the phone lines and get the reaction from some of our listeners out there. He says if the government does all that they need to do, well, a strike is something that they may not need to see, but at the moment some states already are on strike. We know that the NLC called on workers in many states, Abia State and a few others, Cross River, one of them as well, to go on strike because they've been owed for months by the state government, and that's already happening so early on in the year. ASU is on one side, we don't know what that would look like. But for NARD, at least for now, the national level, they said strike is not what we should expect. So let's get to the phone lines. Hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Jimmy Andrew.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Compliment to the studio once more, and good morning to your guest in the studio.
Good morning.
Yeah. So my question, first of all, is some of us out here have not gotten the first jab or vaccination. How do one go about it? My name is GIS Gist. And the second question is this. In as much as we know that if we go on strike, it does not affect any of those senators, any of those House of Representatives. Neither will it affect any governor or any politician that is in power. How can you be able to differentiate the problem that the masses face in the hospital and also the problem that people who are in the term of affairs of Nigeria face when it comes to health wise. Because okay. I think if you leave, I stay close to UPTH. And I know when you people go on strike, and I know how many persons that die each day. How do you differentiate the benefit of those politicians and the benefit of the masses?
All right, thank
when
you.
When people go on strike.
Thank you very much. Doc would answer that, but let's take this one as well. So we'll just take all together. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Zion, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Zion. Go on.
Time without number. I have told all these organizations and cluster groups in this country, going on strike is not the solution. Among members there are most working either for the government or for their selfish benefits. The solution is simple. Amid NMA, GUC, NLC, can't you people float up a consensus candidate that can go in as Mr. President, that will defend your interest? Can't you vote in somebody or get a consensus candidate as governor of various states who can defend and protect your interest in a more professional manner? Now look at the action of the State National Assembly. They want to clamp the wings of every cluster organizations in Nigeria. If you dare go on strike, we are going to sentence you or demobilize you. Look at the issue. They are not even interested in you. And every day you people jump, carry bag for them, you praise them, you celebrate them. The same your interest they cannot protect. My simple advice again, I will still make it clear. Get a consensus candidate and vote out APC and PDP. Vote in your consensus candidate that will protect your interest as a professional.
All right,
Mr. Zion.
Thank you very much. So, Doc, over to you. I think one interesting thing that was said by Dr. Edoga was that every good thing that the health sector has gotten in the country came as a result of a strike. And that tells a lot. One of our callers is asking about the vaccination exercise. So for people who haven't gotten vaccinated, you have said that the vaccines are available at the River State University Teaching Hospital. How can they go about it?
Okay, as a matter of fact, it's not even just there. At the River State Primary Care Board, you know, there's a vaccination center there. There are also vaccination centers in most of the primary healthcare centers scattered around the state. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you should go to any of the one. In fact, he says that it's closer to UPTH. I'm sure at UPTH there will be a center for vaccination. So mm-hmm. you can actually go there and get vaccinated.
Okay.
Yes.
The centers. What's your view to some of the things that were said by Dr. Edoga? The plans that the NIRD have for the year, getting into the reaching out to those in the interlands, and are we expecting the same thing from resident doctors at the state level?
Well, you see, what really happens is that things that are they planned by the national most of the time cascades to, you know, these various centers, you know, across the nation. You know, so yeah, we should expect, you know, some of those things to cascade down to various centers.
Okay.
Even here in River State.
Hello, Nigerian. So, good morning.
Good morning. My name is from the
All right, go ahead, promise.
My brother, this is the guy talking about the studio there. You know, that become a contemporary issue. So, how do you justify, like I better said, being a strike? I'm meeting the contemporary need. In the other way around, Nigerian system and Nigerian government only understand that language of strike. But the funny thing is that even after the strike, sometimes we need 6 months, 3 months to back on strike, and the expected result is not being achieved. I think there should be another modality in which all the unions can come together not to elect a governor. Adam Osinbajo was a nationalist. He was a labor leader. He became governor of a big state. But I don't think civil servants and public servants in the big state smile all through his period. I don't think so. I don't think hospitals in Edo or other educational sectors are smiling. So that you are a journalist and you become a president or a governor cannot solve this Nigerian problem. Chairman Madiba used to say that when we are still in Nigeria, it's not about corruption, it's about inability, incompetence. Incompetence of the person that mounts the leadership of this country. So if you have somebody who is incompetent, you will use an excuse of corruption as a yardstick not to do what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
So if all the union can come together, then all that you have to do now, the NDA want to go on strike, all that union to come together and say, the demand is met, we will not make one inch. Because the Nigerian government understand that.
All right.
Anybody who died in that period is a victim. You pay by when things like this come, you don't become a victim.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. It says you pray that when things like this happen, you don't become a victim. On Facebook, I take some of our comments. This one says, I don't believe there is any COVID-19 case in Nigeria, but the government is looting money with it. It says they're looting. It doesn't believe that there is. What needs to be done for people to understand? Now, the Omicron variant is fast spreading. And even though they have said it's not as harmful, like it doesn't really cause your health to deteriorate as fast as your Delta variant, it spreads faster. What do people need to see before they begin to believe that this really exists?
They need to see it happen to them. That's the only time they can believe. You know, just like HIV. Mm-hmm. I was in secondary school when we first heard the news of HIV. And there was a lot of disbelief. Okay, people had all manner of stories. Oh, it's America's invention to discourage sex and all sorts of things. You know, but then when it started happening to people, when family members and their relatives, you know, started getting it, it began to dawn on them that actually HIV is real. Okay, so but you see, we don't need to wait until something happens to us before we believe that this thing exists. We should just do the minimum we can, you know, to prevent it. Okay, so that's just it. You know, there is no reason to continue to say, it's political, it is religious, you know, people are attaching all manner of things, you know, to the COVID-19. You know, I've seen pictures of, in fact, as I grew up, I've heard of epidemics that have happened in the 1920s, 30s that claimed several communities. Okay, and we don't need to wait until we see that kind of thing happen in Nigeria. Okay, when Ebola came, it wiped out whole communities in Liberia, you know, and Sierra Leone. We are lucky that it didn't spread here. Even then, a lot of people felt that, Ebola is not real. It's not there. But we saw clearly how it wiped out whole communities, you know, in Israel. We don't need to wait until we experience that kind of thing in Nigeria before we can believe. So at the moment, let us just follow the necessary advice, you know, from the National Center, from the Nigerian Center for Disease Control, okay. You know, yes, and prevent this problem from escalating.
Let's see if we can take one more call before we wind down this morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nigeria Info.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
All right, wish you the same. Go ahead.
I want to react on the aspect of the doctor's advocacy of people taking the vaccine of COVID-19. So I want him to react on the issue that when people take it, they get disastrous reaction and some die on the process of taking the vaccine. So I want to get his reaction on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doc.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, I have taken the vaccine. I've taken the first and the second doses of the vaccine. And it didn't have any reaction. You know, I have my close relatives, you know, family members who have taken. They didn't have reactions. But I also have friends who took and had some mild reactions, you know, some things that look like fever and everything. But they got over it. Okay. At least I am not aware of anybody within the area I work, you know, who took vaccine, you know, that died from the vaccine. I'm not aware of any.
But is that possible that anybody could take a vaccine, not just the COVID-19 vaccine, and then have a reaction that could cost you your life?
It's a possibility. As a matter of fact, every drug that we take is a potential poison, including even something as simple as paracetamol. I've heard of people who took paracetamol and reacted very violently. you know, to read paracetamol, as simple as it is.
I think it's how people used to react to chlorine at the chloroquine at the time.
Exactly. You know, but you know, when you look at the overall picture, if out of maybe 1 million people that take a drug, maybe one or two have problem with it, then that drug is relatively safe. Yeah. But by the time you are take maybe 100 people take a drug and 50 people are reacting to it, then it's a problem, you know. But that's not the case with the COVID vaccine, at least.
All right. Well, you heard we have to wrap things up at this moment. Thank you very much, Dr. George Ila, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
COVID-19 vaccines are available. Go out there and get vaccinated. Very important. Don't wait until you contract the virus before you say, oh, okay, it's time to get vaccinated. And just in case you're wondering where you could go to, the UPTH is there. The Riverside University Teaching Hospital is there. The
health centers across the states
are there.
Riverside Primary Care Board at Waterlines, you know.
Okay, so go get vaccinated. I'll just take this message from WhatsApp before we go. Payment of salaries in River State hasn't been an issue for civil servants ever since the Peter Odili regime, but promotion of civil servants, including resident doctors, hasn't happened since 2009. Recruitment has not also happened. Those that are retired are owed gratuity and pension as well, so perhaps they have their own issues to strike about. On the bill, the Constitution states clearly that salaries, pension, agreement must be reviewed periodically and together, but not literally in 5 years interval, yet the federal government waits for strike action before they review. If they can't obey the 1999 Constitution, why do they want a bill to prevent strike caused by failure to obey the Constitution? Text from Oyigbo sent in that one. I think very, very apt that one is. Once again, thank you very much. We also had Dr. Chima Emmanuel Edoga with us over the phone. This is where we wrap things up on the Morning Crossfire today. Tomorrow is another day, and so do keep a date with us. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew on Facebook, Ifeyemi Andrew on Instagram, Ifeyemi Andrew Official. Again, get vaccinated. Together, we can defeat this pandemic. Have a great day.